Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty. This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. I'm your host, Rob Burrows, director for the Northern California Veterans Museum, retired United States Navy Senior Chief, U.S. Navy Seabees, 177 convoy missions in Iraq, 2 combat tours. And it's my privilege to be with you here this morning as we move forward into this program. Once again, I just want to say, you know, it's a beautiful morning out there. It was about 32 degrees in Cottonwood this morning, but we've got just some light clouds and the mountains are covered with snow and everything is green. If you get a chance to get out there, you need to really be able to enjoy this day, here in our Northern California area. You know, we live in one of the most beautiful places in our country. And I've been all over the world, and coming back here to, I call Cottonwood, California, my home, and it's just a beautiful location here. The people that we have here in our Northern California area and the beauty, people come from all over the world to be here, and we live here every day. So what a grateful opportunity it is for us to be able to live here in this beautiful jewel of Northern California and to enjoy it every single day. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on over in the Ukraine. As I'm watching the news and seeing what's going on, one of the things that just has amazed me is that for the last month, the Russians have been piling up and accumulating on the borders of the Ukraine. And it makes me wonder if the people that are there in the Ukraine have news, or if they were kept from the news, or if they weren't getting the right news. Because as I watched the news interviews of the people on the street who are now dealing with the invasion of the Russians, and they act as if they didn't know anything about this. They act as if, hey, well, we knew the Russians were there, but we never thought they were going to come in. Let me tell you, if we had 150,000 Chinese on the Canadian border, I think that we would know that they were there. I think we would know that there is an issue going on. I think we would know that something's going to take place and it's not going to be a good thing. And so as I'm watching these people, they're living in a surreal world where there is no reality except for the reality that they have right now. And it really was amazing to me as you watch right up to the day before the invasion, how people were at the shopping malls. People were walking the streets. They were walking their dogs. They were pushing strollers. And I thought to myself, what is wrong with these people that they are not looking at the danger that is all around them? And they're not understanding that in a few hours, in a few days, their whole world is just going to go to hell in a handbasket, and they're going to lose their lives, they're going to lose their neighbors, they're going to lose their livelihoods, they're going to lose their homes to a dictator, because that's what Putin is. He's a dictator. He's no different than Hitler during the Nazi regime during World War II. Although I don't know that he's going after any particular race or group of people. He's going after the minerals and the assets and the country itself to prove a point that, hey, look, you just can't walk away from us, and we're going to show you why. But what comes back to me is the understanding of why people see a danger, or maybe they didn't see the danger. I don't know how that can take place and people not know. And I was talking to some people in our community here in Northern California. And after yesterday's invasion from the ports, with the amphibious invasion there into the Ukraine from the Black Sea, with the Russian amphibious units going in and assaulting the country. And an individual that I was talking to said, you know, I never gave it thought to it if somebody was to come into San Francisco and then come up Northern California with an invasion or something like that. And it makes me wonder, as we look at our society in the United States of America, that people are so lost in their phones. They're so lost in a social media. They're so lost in playing games on their phones that they're not looking at the reality of the dangers that are all around us every single day, and we don't look and see what those dangers are. And that part that comes to me is, I completely don't understand that. We do. The United States does have dangers around us all the time. We have situations where we already have the Chinese, and the Russians in our nation, working with cyber attacks and things like that. Some might say that our government is actually controlled by the Chinese. If you look at the Biden family and you look at, how his son is involved with the Chinese and Russia and already undermining the United States with some of the business dealings that they're doing. And if that was a conservative individual in our government, they would be all over them. They would be pointing the finger. They'd be trying to make an example of everything else. But it seems like on the liberal side of the fence, the Democratic side of the fence, they brush it under the carpet. Well, we don't want anybody to know. It's okay if they do that. It's okay if they make these things happen. And that is not okay. That is not what America is about. That's not what you and I as American citizens are about. As an American citizen, I do not condone that because silence is consent. And if you don't step up and you don't make your opinion heard, if you don't say these things, that allows these individuals to just go ahead and continue to get away with their underhandedness and their backdoorness and things that are undermining this nation. And so as we move forward with our program this morning, our program is going to be an Americanism program. And I think that it's important that as we continue to watch things unfold around the world within hours, sometimes seconds, that's how fast sometimes things may happen right here in our own nation. If we're not careful, if we're not watching the signs on the horizon, if we're not paying attention, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And sometimes across our nation, it seems like there's looms of smoke all over our nation, whether it be in the government, whether it be in communities, whether it be in local government with things either with the COVID or with other mandates and things that are taking place. Those are red flags. Those are smoke signals telling us, hey, we need to be aware because there's fire near that smoke. And as you know, here in Northern California, when we get a fire, it's not just a smoke loom up here or there. It's the entire countryside. All of the mountains, the valleys, everything that we have becomes cremated. It becomes destroyed by that fire. And that same fire that we see physically can also be the same fire in our society. It can be the same fire that we see in our government. It can be the same fire that we see in our communities. And so we have to be careful as we walk forward. We have to be careful as we move forward. You know, once again, if you're not prepared for an emergency service in your family, my suggestion is that, you know, with things that are going on out there right now, it's not being panicking or anything like that. It's just being smart to have extra groceries on hand. It's smart to have a couple of cases of water in your closet. It's smart to have an extra can of gas at your home or wherever you're at, or to keep your car filled with gas because, well, number one, because the prices are going to be going up. But number two, you never know if there's a cyber attack, if our gas stations get shut down, or if there's a problem with our banking system. And so the whole idea is for us to be aware of our surroundings, situational awareness. Every situation has a surrounding around it. And if we're not paying attention, it can sweep right over us. And now all of a sudden, we as individuals in our communities are going, what happened? And you look in your pantry and you only have a few cans of food because you're only living one day at a time or a week at a time. And some people can't afford that, and I understand that. But they'll spend their credit card going out and buy trivial things on their credit card to get thrown away or tossed or whatever else that have no meaning. Maybe you should take that credit card and go out and buy an extra week's worth of groceries, or some waters or some things like that, or some medical supplies. Because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And I think it's just smart for us as individuals in our community, as we move forward, to be able to take care of ourselves. Because as you can see up close and firsthand with the Ukraine, these people, they look like they've been caught by surprise. But there's red flags all around us and there's smoke looms everywhere. And those mean that we should be prepared, we should be aware of our situation around us, and that we should be conscious of things that may happen. And that's just being smart to be prepared. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you the Cigar of the Humidor, the Monte Cristo 1935 Anniversary Nicaraguan. From the fields of A.J. Fernandez, a bold and strong Maduro stick. Lots of spice with subtle earthy tones and a twinge of leather, coffee, and malted milk. The number 2 cigar of 2021. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Your friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty on a Bash, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. traitors, then they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God can't about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
God bless America, the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the to the prairies, to the ocean, white with
good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, God Bless America by Martina McBride. And you know, it amazes me as you listen to our the music and everything across our nation, you never hear anything that's patriotic on a daily basis or a weekly basis or anything like that. And today we are dedicating this program to Americanism. And we'll be playing some more patriotic music as we go. But I think it's important that we remind people that our patriotism is a daily effort. The only way bad men can be successful is for good men to do nothing. And we need to continue in our daily lives, step up for our community. We need to step up for people that are around us, our elderly also. We need to make sure that we help take care of them. But we need to make sure that we keep like-mindedness to protect this nation as we continue to move forward. And I think that is so important. We're going to talk about some of the items that we have here this morning. Our guest this morning is Roland Dillon, United States Navy, and he and his wife Janice, Jane, they own the flag store here in our community. And so some of the patriotism we're going to talk about this morning falls right in line with having a flag, sharing that flag, and being able to know what that flag means and to know what it stands for and to be able to have heart and patriotism and passion about what that flag means and the lives and the sacrifice that it has taken for us to continue to have that flag in our nation. So many people take that flag and they use it. They take it for granted. They throw it on the ground. They burn it. They stomp on it all around the world. But you know what? I served 23 years in the United States Navy defending that flag, and that flag means everything to me and my wife, my family, our God, our friends, our community, the Northern California Veterans Museum. That's why it's so important for us to move forward and to remind people how important it is of the patriotism that that flag means, the freedoms that we have every day that so many people take for granted. And it's important for us sometimes to just go ahead and to reiterate how important. Why should we wait till 4th of July to play a patriotic song? Or wait till Memorial Day to say a thank you to, or to remember our fallen, or at Veterans Day to say thank you to our veterans? We should be doing that on a daily basis. You know, my parents sent me to a private school when I was a kid. And I'm grateful to my parents for sending me to that school. And it was a patriotic school. We were taught patriotism and the love of our country. And my dad had a gas station. And I know that he scraped to pay for that private school for me to go and my mother. But it is so critical now in my life as I'm older to be able to reach back and to listen to those words of encouragement about our country and to love it and to know that God is in charge of our country. As we put him there, we have to put him there. He's not just there. We have to put him there with our founding fathers, as they did also. They reached out and they listened to his leadership as we came up with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and all of the things that started out and founded this country, where people fought for an idea. There was no flag, there was no country, there was no constitution, but they fought for the ideas and the capability of having a free nation, a free will, where they could worship God and they could go ahead and have a country of their own without the dictatorship of a king. Just like what you see is going on in Russia right now with everything that's taking place with the Ukraine. Once again, good morning, Roland. I kind of stepped on you there for a little bit, but sometimes I just get that need to reach out and to share those things, and I have the passion of being a combat veteran and seeing what took place in the trenches and on the roads of Iraq and the atrocities, what's taking place now. We saw those atrocities from the insurgents against the Americans and the Iraqi people. And so as I watch these things unfurl and unfold, I'm continually looking at it from a military standpoint, because just because I've retired doesn't mean that mindset that kept us alive there has not gone away.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chief. Thanks for having me this morning. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
About the perspective of being in a foreign country, particularly in a war zone, is a perspective that most Americans don't have the opportunity to get. It's unique to veterans in the war zone specifically, and maybe to some folk who have the opportunity to travel outside the United States. But so many Americans don't have a real perspective of what it's like in foreign countries, particularly foreign countries that are run by dictators. And I think part of our mission, yours and mine, is to help make people aware of what it's like over there, somewhere else, under some rule that's not American. Because America's unique in the world. It's unique in history. And, you know, in all of recorded history, if you look at it from a macro view, there are very few times in that macro view of history when peace and safety, to the degree that we have it and enjoy it in the United States, is available anywhere on the globe. History is littered with dictators, with Genghis Khans and all of these kinds of people who kept the world in turmoil. We had a war in history called the Hundred Years War. Can you imagine being at war for 100 years? There are two or three generations during that period who knew nothing but death and destruction. So times of peace and safety, like the ones that we live in the United States, are very, very few in the grand picture of history. And we just don't realize as a nation, so many of us, how wonderfully grateful we should be for what we have here today.
You know what? One of the terms that we constantly used when we were in country in the combat zone was complacency kills. We have a nation that is complacent. We have individuals who have never been in a situation where their lives have been threatened or taken or anything along those lines. And if you don't, people don't know what they don't know.
Exactly.
Because if they haven't experienced it, if they haven't tasted it, if somebody from their family hasn't talked to them face to face about those stories and things like that, they don't know. And as we lose more and more of our elderly veterans, those stories go away with them also. We're coming up on a break here. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Reading is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Reading to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/Reading.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Steel Magnolias by Robert Harling. Directed by Aaron Hanley Stewart and Marla Frost O'Brien. March 11th through March 26th. Listen in as a tight-knit group of friends gossip at the beauty parlor. It's a story of friends as they encounter tragedy and good fortune, growing stronger and closer in the process. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store reading and at the door. Steel Magnolias, March 11th through March 26th at Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by this station and other amazing sponsors.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
No, it ain't about the place he's been living for the last 8 months.
And it ain't about the badges on his uniform. And it ain't about the oil like they say it is in the news. You'll never hear him say it don't matter anymore. 'Cause what matters most is feeling home. Gathered round the table, barely able to get through the day without thinking about him. Their life.
Morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, Craig Morgan, What Matters Most. We're going to go right into a segment, The Star-Spangled Banner, as you've never heard it before, telling the story of Francis Scott Key and being able to write our Star-Spangled Banner.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds." The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, "Men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch." As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, "Tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us." 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb, and Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, "It's still up. It's not down." The admiral came and he said, "Your people are insane." He said, "What's the matter with them?" He said, "Don't they understand this is an impossible situation?" Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, "The thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees." The admiral said, "We have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down." He said, "We don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that." But he said, "Now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point." Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer, "God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it." Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when he had fallen, but men, fathers, knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? O'er the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light
what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets break clear, the bombs bursting in air. There our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's get rid of honey. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bout it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce continues their legacy of involvement in vetting local candidates and will be hosting the first of two Shasta County Supervisor Candidate Forums Wednesday, April 6th at 5 p.m. at the Sheridan Hotel at the Sundial Bridge. The Reading Chamber of Commerce is committed to providing trusted information on local candidates running for office while abiding by their city plan to lead with credibility, integrity, transparency, and you, the voice of their members. The Chamber wants to be sure that the most important issues you face are brought to the attention of those seeking public office and will be surveying its membership to help set the direction of the questions asked at the forums. Additionally, digital voter guides will be released featuring interviews with candidates and races of importance as identified by the Chamber's Government Affairs Committee. Find out more about our candidates at the first of two Shasta County Supervisor Candidate Forums Wednesday, April 6th at 5 p.m. at the Sheridan Hotel at the Sundial Bridge at 820 Sundial Bridge Drive. Doors open at 4:30. Admission is free. For more information, contact the Reading Chamber of Commerce.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Amen.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina Pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel in the Appalachia Mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? Look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high? Have you seen the sun come blazing down from a bright Nevada sky? Do you hail to the Columbia as she rises in the sea? Or are you headed Gettysburg? Our struggle to be free? Have you seen the mighty Tetons? You watched an eagle soar? Have you seen the Mississippi roll along Missouri's shore? Have you felt a chill at Michigan when on a winter's day her waters rage along the shore in thunderous display? Does the word aloha make you warm? Do you stare in disbelief when you see the surf come roaring in at Waimea Reef? From Alaska's cold to the Everglades, from the Rio Grande to Maine, my heart cries out, my pulse runs fast, the might of her domain. You ask me why I love her? I have a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
John Wayne, America, Why I Love Her. I love that song. John Wayne has always been one of my American idols growing up. And, you know, none of us are perfect. They tried to take John Wayne down a while back, and they tried to take his statue down out of the Orange County John Wayne Airport and to make him into something that he wasn't. And, you know, I'd like to find any man across this United States that's not a perfect individual. But we do the best we can, and we try the effort that we have. And by God's grace, that's how we make it from day to day. Our guest this morning is Roland Dillion. Once again, United States Navy veteran and during the Vietnam War. And so as we commemorate the Vietnam War through the partnership between the Northern California Veterans Museum and the National Commemoration of the Vietnam War, we are honoring our Vietnam veterans. And, Roland, we're glad to have you here this morning and for us to say thank you for your service to our nation during the Vietnam War. Thank you for stepping up and not going to Canada. And thank you that during that turmoil when things were so tough in our nation that you chose to serve.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate it. I can remember my growing up years as a teen before I went in the service. The evening news, which at that time we got in black and white, and you got three channels, ABC, NBC, or CBS. But I remember the evening news on our TV at home every night. You would get the battlefield correspondent, Dan Rather. And at that time in his career, Dan Rather was a battlefield reporter in Vietnam, and that's how he made his career. But every night we got to watch on TV from the battlefield, and they would always have the body count, which was meant to be our success or lack of it for the day. It was kind of the barometer that everybody was watching. The Viet Cong lost so many, and the Americans lost so many. And there it was, the war on TV in your living room, and they're carrying out our boys, you know, on stretchers every night, and this whole conversation. So it was a bizarre way to grow up seeing that. So when it came time for the military, I'm a patriotic guy, come from a patriotic family. I'm a son of the American Revolution by virtue of both my father's and my mother's lineage. So I've got some roots that run pretty deep in America. I've lost ancestors on both sides of the Civil War because my family was
torn.
Well, torn, and as a nation was torn during that time too. So when it came time for me, I knew that I didn't want to be on the 5 o'clock news with Dan Rather. So I was, at that time the draft was, in place, and they had this thing called the lottery. They drew all the birthdays out of the hat, and the order they drew them in was the order they were going to draft, boys, young men for that year. And the first couple years out of high school, I had a high enough number that, it didn't matter, but the third year came around and I didn't have such a good number. So I made a decision to join the Navy, instead of just allowing myself to be drafted and become a victim of the system, whatever that would be. I felt if I enlisted in a service, and that would give me more control over where I went and what I did. And as a result, that ended up being a wise decision on my part. And I actually never served in the battle zone. I missed Vietnam by one rotation of the Pacific Fleet. I served on board the USS Kitty Hawk, and we were on a Western Pacific cruise in 1975. We relieved our Kitty Hawk battle group, relieved the USS Coral Sea battle group. And it was the Coral Sea who conducted the evacuation of Saigon. So I missed it by just that one rotation. Never saw the war zone, but did serve during that whole time of the 1970 through 77 was when I was in the service.
Now, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the influence from your father, and we talked about him during World War II. He was part of the home front, where they were part of the building of the aircraft. He worked for
Curtis Wright.
Curtis Wright. I was going to say Allison, but Curtis Wright. And so tell us just a little bit about your father. And that influence from your dad about serving in that manner, because that was so important for those aircraft to be made, in the different fighting machines that we had to have to win against the Nazis and the Japanese.
Absolutely, and it's a spectacle and an achievement and a time in history that we today have trouble wrapping our brains around. But this country was united. I mean, from top to bottom and left to right, they were united. It was the war effort, whatever it took. My mother was a Rosie the Riveter at Curtis Wright. In fact, that's where my folks met. Everybody was involved in the war effort. They were donating their pantyhose for parachutes, donating blood. Everybody, it was all hands on deck, because we knew if we didn't win, we'd be speaking Japanese or German or some combination of the both. So my dad worked at it later became North American Rockwell, but at that time it was Curtis Wright. They were building SB-2 Hell Divers, many of which were featured in the Battle of Midway and what have you. My dad had standing orders to work all the overtime he could stand.
Wow.
Oftentimes, he would be an entire week at the plant. He would work two shifts, sleep the night under a workbench, get up the next morning and work two shifts.
That's dedication to this nation and to those men. Yep. Flying those aircraft.
They were rolling one hell diver an hour off the assembly line.
Wow, that is a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. And the coordination to bring all the raw materials and parts together
right.
to make that happen is phenomenal what they were doing.
Well, it's so important that we talk about the foundation of where we come from and the service that we did. My mother worked for the Naval Shipyard at Rough and Ready Island there in Stockton during the wars. And my father was a gunner's mate on a Liberty ship. And so, and they met during the war also. And so as we continue to talk about this, we'll be coming right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll see you on the other side.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Between the two sides over the Azovstal steel plant, one of the biggest in Europe. I'm Karen Chamas.
New civilian corridors are allowing evacuees to flee Ukraine to neighboring Poland. Meanwhile, the Senate's top Republican says the White House appears to be going a little easy on Russia over fears that confronting Vladimir Putin could start World War III.
They have incorrectly concluded that Putin may actually want a war with NATO. That's insane. He can't handle Ukraine. He's not going to try to go to war with us.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network. Facing stiff resistance in Ukraine and with crippling economic sanctions, President Putin is using language reminiscent of Joseph Stalin in some of his comments, referring to his own citizens as gnats if they are opposed to the war in Ukraine. Congressman Don Young of Alaska has died. He was 88. More from townhall.com.
You over 65 or turning 65? Whether you're new to Medicare or already have a plan, important changes in Medicare take place every year that most Americans miss. Get your Medicare maximized with Chapter, a free service that makes sure you have the right plan now and continued concierge service whenever you need a change. At Chapter, we instantly compare thousands of plans from the most trusted insurers to find our members the best and most affordable plans for them, the right Medicare coverage for you. Including plans to cover gaps in Medicare Part A and Part B. Important benefits like vision, dental, and prescription coverage that could save you thousands of dollars each year. Maximize your Medicare with Chapter, rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. The service is free, so call and speak with an advisor. Let us help your next Chapter be the best one yet. Call 800-586-9222. 800-586-9222. 800-586-9222.
Engineers are trying to refloat that cargo ship stuck in the Chesapeake Bay.
The operator of a cargo ship that ran aground in the Chesapeake Bay has a plan to refloat the stranded ship. Evergreen said Friday that the plan involves releasing ballast to lighten the load of the Ever Forward and dredging around the ship to create space between the propeller and rudder and the seabed. The Don John Smith salvage team will then refloat the ship at high tide using the power of tugboats and the ship's main engine. The U.S. Coast Guard says the Ever Forward was headed from the port of Baltimore to Norfolk, Virginia when it ran aground Sunday. Keith Peters reporting.
Maryland Governor Larry Hogan has put a 30-day suspension of the state's gas tax into effect. Hogan signed legislation Friday shortly after final approval by state lawmakers. He describes it as a bipartisan effort to provide some relief to Marylanders because of rising gasoline prices. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Fire crews in central Texas struggling to contain a massive windswept wildfire. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said an Eastland County Sheriff's deputy lost her life trying to save others.
The one person who lost her life because of the fire is Sheriff Deputy Barbara Finley. And we are sorrowful for her loss of life. But as a state, we have great appreciation for her service.
Washington has expelled another state-owned Chinese phone carrier from the U.S. market over national security concerns amid rising tensions with Beijing. The Federal Communications Commission revoked authorization for Pacific Networks to provide domestic and international service. The U.S. government is reducing Chinese access to American markets and investment over possible spying in Beijing's military developments. You'll find more on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our head. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue by Toby Keith. Our guest this morning, Roland Dillion, United States Navy veteran, Vietnam War. Once again, thank you for being here this morning, be able to share your story and talk about your service during that time. You were on the USS Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier, and you said you had just missed Vietnam by one rotation. Tell us a little bit about, they say that an aircraft carrier is the most dangerous piece of real estate in the world. And you were a safety petty officer on board that ship, which means you were in the thick of it on the deck as the aircraft were landing and taking off. Tell us a little bit about that first experience.
Well, the first experience, it actually started before we got to the carrier as the squadron safety petty officer. One of my duties was to conduct a 3-day safety stand down for the entire squadron to prepare for our embarkation on the carrier. So we spent 3 days with lectures and videos and movies and all kinds of reviews to get prepared mentally for the experience of being on a carrier.
Had the accident of the USS Forrestal taken place at that point? Had that happened at that time?
Yes, that was...
That was one of your training films?
That was one of the training films that we all watched.
Right.
Which was a tough tragedy, and we also watched the films from the Enterprise accident, which was actually fresher historically than the Forrestal. So we got to see all of those things and get your head on right before you go out to the carrier. And speaking of having your head on right, they have a motto for you when you go up on that flight deck, and it's called Head on a Swivel.
Correct. We still use that.
Absolutely. It's a good one because you need to be watching 360 degrees. There are 70 aircraft on that aircraft carrier, and during a launch or recovery operation, you could have as many as 30 or 40 or 50 of those airplanes with jet engines running. So you've got to really be careful where you go and what you do.
And that jet blast will just blow you right overboard.
The jet blast.
And there's safety nets, but they don't always work.
That's right. If you get hit too hard with one of those jet blasts, it can roll you right into the water. And that flight deck is 90 feet above the waterline, so that's quite a drop.
It's not the fall that kills you; it's that sudden stop.
Exactly. Water's pretty hard after a 90-foot fall. And of course, you don't want to be too close to the intake of any of those jet engines either, because when they're turning up and getting their RPMs up, they can ingest an entire human being in that jet engine. So you've got to stay away from the front
now,
end.
You were attached to the A7, so which is a Corsair 2.
Yes.
And it has, it's like when a shark opens its mouth and it's just gaping hole. That's what that in the front of that A7 looks like all the time. It just has a massive mouthpiece for all that air to flow through.
Yes, indeed. So we got out to the carrier, and when you get ready to go on the flight deck, you have all this safety gear that you have to put on. You wear a vest with a bladder in it that you can inflate. If you happen to get blown overboard, you can pull the lanyard.
Like a Mae West.
Exactly, a Mae West, and a helmet and goggles and gloves, steel-toed safety shoes. The military did everything that they could think of to protect guys when they were up there on the flight deck. It's such a dangerous place. If you were assigned to the flight deck, you drew battlefield pay. So it wasn't a battlefield location, but it warranted battlefield pay.
Because of the current danger.
It was that hazardous. I walked up, on the flight deck, my first trip out of one of the catwalks in front of the angle deck, just in time to see them launch one of our aircraft off the catapult. And you know, you've seen all the movies and you think you're ready, and then you walk up there and you see that 14-ton aircraft launched like a paper wad on a rubber band. And I shook my head and turned around and went back down inside. And I said, these guys are crazy. It was a bizarre reality check for me to actually see that happen the first time. I hadn't, even with all the preparation I'd done, I wasn't ready to see that.
Well, it's so up close and personal. I mean, you're right there with that thrust and the catapult and everything that's taking place. Plus, like you said, all of the other aircraft and that noise and vibration. I mean, it just shudders you from the inside out.
Yes, indeed. And the landings are even more precarious than the launch. In fact, all the pilots will call an aircraft carrier a controlled crash, because you go from full airspeed to full stop in about 2 seconds. So the deceleration when they engage that tripwire or landing wire is very quick.
Now, there's four cables across there?
There are four cables. It's ideally...
Arresting cables?
Yes. They call them arresting cables, and they're about 10 yards apart. It's ideal for them to catch the third wire. That's what their goal is. If you catch the first wire, you're dangerously close to flying into the back of the ship, if you're that low. So the third wire is ideal.
And so when they land, when they catch, the arresting hook grabs that cable... they give it full power again, don't they, in case it breaks, and then they have to take off the deck again?
Exactly.
Because those A7s, like you said, are so heavy that if they don't have enough airspeed, they just go, I've seen where they just go right over the bow of the aircraft carrier, right into the drink.
Exactly. Yep. So they land at full throttle.
Which is amazing to me as it is. I mean, just it's amazing that those catapults, or excuse me, the arresting cables are able to catch that immense amount of energy right in the center there. But then those are spring-loaded. They're not solid. So that they absorb that as the aircraft comes into those.
Yes, they'll spool out as the aircraft slows to a stop. And that cable is about probably an inch and a half in diameter.
Yeah, that's I've watched different videos on that training and how that was taking place also with even though we were in the Seabees, we trained along with the fleet. And so we would watch those different training films and also along with them because it was Navy wide for that the safety stand downs and to watch those training films. We're coming up on our time here right now. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, our guest, Roland Dillion, United States Navy, Vietnam veteran. We'll be right back.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. Today we're talking about the Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista. Coming in a 5x40 Vitola, the Fugly is priced just right for our value-conscious customers. Draped in a chocolatey brown San Andres leaf, presented in natural or Maduro, this stick is a throwback to a Cheroot vintage. The Fugly from Tabacalera El Artista, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson, featuring new and existing vendors. Memory Lane is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features furniture, jewelry, sports memorabilia, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved decor, pictures and paintings, and so much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage, now open at their new location at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson in the Gateway Shopping Center.
Shasta County, are you ready for something real special? Mary's Pizza Shack has some changes. We're now Charlie's Tap House, and a tap house rule number one is come in for the homemade pizzas, pastas, and other house-made specialties, and stay for the beer wall.
Mary's Pizza Shack is now Charlie's Tap House, pizza, pasta, grill. Same family owners and same homemade recipes. Plus, a few more you'll want to try for yourself. Friday nights, try our special hand-cut prime rib for just $28 with all the fixings. And all week, you can enjoy surf and turf or salmon and polenta.
Don't miss Shasta County's premier tap beer wall with your favorite beers on demand that you can order by the ounce. Try our new house beer collaboration with Woody's Brewing, Flippin' Hazy. Your taste buds will thank you. And when you sign up for our Tap House Rewards program, you'll automatically get $5 off towards your next order. Remember, our vibe is casual. The atmosphere is social.
Order online at charlews.com. That's charlews.com.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
Oh,
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And if you haven't figured out the theme yet this morning, the theme is Americanism in this country that we love, talking about our flag and why we have it, talking about our national anthem and how we arrived at that and how it came about, talking about our military personnel wearing the uniform of this nation from the very inception of this nation to today when our military men and women serving around the world right now. The sacrifice that takes place is given by individuals who set their lives out to say, I'm going to serve my country, I'm going to serve my nation, and if I give my life in that process, I give that life. The courageous die but once, but the coward dies many times, as Shakespeare said. And how important it is for those individuals who step up to the plate. When we were in Iraq and we were running convoy missions outside of Wire in 06, 07, and we did a 177 missions outside the Wire. And the first mission, you're scared to death. Well, actually, every single mission, we were scared to death. There's no doubt about that. But you know that you have a duty to do. You know that you have a job to do. And that just because you're scared doesn't mean that you can shirk your responsibility. It doesn't mean that you don't have the courage or the wherewithal to continue to go back out. We come in from a mission, and it would be hellacious. We'd be up for 20, 30 hours. We'd get 6 hours of sleep, and we'd turn around. We'd go right back out on the IED-laden roads and exposed to the enemy. And it wasn't like we could turn around and say we could go home. It was too late to leave and too soon to go home. We were there for 9 months in country. And it was just at the heights of the war during that time. It was just a hellacious time frame with what we saw with the death and destruction. And as I watch what's going on in Ukraine, that brings back a lot of those memories of what was taking place and the helicopters flying and the tanks rolling through the desert. It was the desert we were at, but it's the towns there in Ukraine. And so it brings a lot of that back to me as to why it's so important for us to have the proper mindset here in our own nation. When you see war in another country, you should be thinking about what would happen if something like that took place in our country. Because things in life happen, whether we want it to or not. Not that it's going to happen, but it's something to ponder and to think about and to be aware of. Our guest this morning is Roland Dillion, the United States Navy veteran during the Vietnam War. And Roland, we've talked a little bit about what's going on over there in Ukraine and the situational awareness about being, you didn't go into the Vietnam area where the combat was actually taking place, but you were trained to be able to go into that area and to fight the enemy, regardless of whether you were actually there or not. Your duty was the duty to take care of those aircraft as if you were in the war zone. You just said that if you were on the flight deck, you were getting combat pay because that was such an intense location for you to be. I'm sure by the end of it, you were glad to be on there because it was an adrenaline rush. You almost get addicted to that.
Oh, very true. There's nothing in the world like being on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier.
Take your breath away.
It takes your breath away. You're scared and excited all at once.
That's the same as combat.
Yeah. And just watching the operations is amazing. I took more pictures in my off-duty hours of flight deck operations and launches and recoveries that I still cherish because it's memories of a really a really good time for me on those flight deck experiences.
Now, did they do launch and recovery at the same time? So they have coming in and going out, or they would do one or the other?
When we were on cruise, when we were actually in the Western Pacific, we would not do launch and recovery at the same time. Because typically they launch what they call sorties or missions, and that's something that will involve all the aircraft on the ship, all the squadrons, where they coordinate a mission, whether it's the what we used to call the E-birds, the electronic warfare birds,
the intruders.
Had certain responsibilities, and the attack aircraft and the fighters, the fighters flew cover for all the others. So there was a coordinated mission that involved all the aircraft on the ship. So we launched them all, and then when the mission was over, we'd recover them all. Practicing launch and recovery along the western coast of the United States was different than what we did in full ship missions. They would practice what they called carrier qualifications. The pilots had to have so many recoveries and launches on the aircraft carrier every year. So every year you are out there requalifying all the pilots in your squadron for landings and takeoffs on an aircraft carrier. In those environments, we did launch and recover at the same time, and that is crazy.
It has to be orchestrated, because it just seems like just in launching or just in recovering, there's so much chaos. And then to have both of those gone, I mean, just the manpower on the deck.
Yep, they would launch off of what we call the bow catapults. Most of these aircraft carriers had angle decks. So the landings could happen on the angle deck, and then the takeoffs were off of the bow. So they were at slightly different angles from each other. Supposedly
they wouldn't fly into each other on the ground.
Supposedly that was the goal. And even if you had a plane that missed all the wires and had to retake off, he was on the trajectory of the angle deck, which was away from the bow catapults where they were launching planes. So it was common to have a pilot take a arrested landing, unhook the cable, taxi over to the catapult, and relaunch and go around and do it again. Some of the carriers, when it would get really busy, they would actually put running aircraft on the elevators, take them down into the hangar deck, taxi them through the hangar deck to another elevator.
The pilot's taxiing under the main deck.
And put them on another elevator, go back up to the flight deck, and launch, depending on the situation.
How crowded it was on the deck.
And what was going on.
See, that's something that I never had heard of before. That's pretty amazing to have a live aircraft taxiing underneath on the second layer, on the second deck like that.
Yeah. You had to have your head screwed on right all the time in that environment.
And not just one. I mean, a complement for a carrier is about 6,000, isn't it?
Yes, plus.
6,000 individuals that are in the process of making that entire operation work. I mean, from feeding people from the different shifts to guys trying to get some rest in between, and then everybody, because each carrier, each aircraft group had a whole different group of squadron individuals that worked with that squadron, correct?
Correct.
So you had multiple squadrons up there with multiple people that were just dedicated to those aircraft.
Yes. All the time.
So then on those aircraft where they were flying the A-7 Corsair II and the F-4 Skyhawk, and then the A-4 Skyhawk and then the F-4 Phantoms, and then the A-6 Intruders, those were kind of the combination of what you're – plus the helicopters that were out there for safety watch.
Plus helicopters, plus the E-birds, the A-6s, the electronic warfare birds, and also had A-5 vigilantes.
Oh, you had vigilantes on there also.
They were the recon.
So it's just amazing that you have all the different aircraft, all the different technicians, all the different flight personnel that are bringing those in and taking them out. And once again, the orchestration of putting all that together, just either for training or for the mission status, just an immense amount of responsibility taking place. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again, Roland Dillion, United States Navy, served on the USS Kitty Hawk. We'll be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company, and why Megastar Financial?
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, axe throwing, enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $7 admission, $5 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday, we will honor our veterans with free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 2nd and 3rd. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Pedigo Reading, Crown Motors, and California Customs.
Aloha. This is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
I walked through a county courthouse square. On a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your old courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "No, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat." And I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, 'Can you see?' And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. Cause she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We take her down every night. We don't let her touch the ground and we fold her up right. On second thought, I do like to brag. Cause I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And we are proud of our flag. I can remember we'd go out on convoys and come back. We'd be down for 20, 30 hours. And as we came back into the wire, the sun would just be coming up. And on the horizon, you would see the flag flying over Camp Fallujah. And you knew that when you finally got inside the wire, you could take a deep breath and you could take your flak vest off and you could put your gear away, because that flag was a, wherever that flag flew, it was that territory, that camp was America. And that was our home. That was our safety. So that flag, when you see that flag flying and you've been in combat and you're making your way back to the wire, and that is the closest thing to America that you'll ever come to while you're deployed. One of the things when you're serving in the military, when the flag is raised in the morning, you stand and you salute the flag as it is played, as the bugle is played. And then in the evening, when they take the flag down, you stand at attention and you salute to that flag wherever, it doesn't matter where you are on the facility, at the base or wherever, you come to a full standstill. You turn to the direction of the trumpet and you, to the bugle, and you salute. And it's a respect, it's an honor, it's something that you never forget while you're serving in the military. And when I raise the flag at the museum, I raise that flag sharply and tie it off and step back and I salute that flag, because it's the honor, it's the respect, it's those who came before us, it's those who are serving today, and the sacrifice that that flag represents. Our guest again this morning, Roland Dillion, United States Navy veteran during Vietnam, and he and his wife own the flag store here in Redding, California. And Roland, I just want to say thank you. Once again, I want to say thank you for your service during the Vietnam War, and welcome home. And I want you to tell us a little bit about, not everybody goes out and buys a flag store. I mean, that's dedication, that's patriotism, there's heart in there, it's love of country, love of the flag and what it means. Tell us a little bit about why you ended up buying the flag store and what it means for you to have that here in our community.
Well, that's an interesting story, Chief, because I was a year ago, I was in the process of retiring from the floor covering business, where I'd spent a career, literally 40 years, in all aspects of floor covering. I was installer, wholesale representative, retail sales, estimation. I did it all. So I was wrapping up that career, and I had a little... a 20-foot flagpole out in our yard, and one night, almost exactly a year ago, there was a wind and the halyard line broke, and I woke up in the morning and my flags were on the ground. And I went, oh my goodness. So I quickly gathered them up, and as soon as the clock rolled around enough, I went down to the flag center to buy some more halyard to get my flags back up. And I rolled up in the parking lot, and there was a sign on the front of the building that said, "Business for Sale." At that instant, it was a done deal in my heart. I just knew that fast that that was the next step for me. So I went into the store, bought my halyard line, and I asked the clerk, I said, what's the deal with the business for sale? And she says, "I don't know. You have to call the owner." And I said, "What's the owner's number?" She gave me the number, and right there in the store, I called the owner and made the first introduction. And almost 30 days later, April 1st of last year, we owned the store. So it happened very fast. It was just an absolute knowing on my part that that was the next step for me. I am delighted beyond words to own the Flag Center. Somebody asked me early on and said, "Well, your business now is selling flags." And I thought about that for just a short moment, and I realized that that was not my mission to sell flags. My mission is to inspire people to want to fly the American flag. That's what I do.
Patriotism.
Patriotism.
Love of country.
Love of country. And teaching the true history of our country, its founding and what have you. And I know there is a lot of move afoot in the fringes of our society on rewriting history and twisting it to say or infer something that it never intended. And I have studied out a lot of those things more in depth now than I ever have, because I have opportunities to share them and talk about them. And I look for opportunities to do that, whether that's at a service club or a classroom or wherever it might be. In fact, one of my current reads is a book about the founders, and it is called The Founder's Speech. Maybe you've heard of it. The author is Stephen Robb, and it's a collection of sayings from all the founders, and they are categorized into chapters that have a theme. Like one theme might be free speech. Another theme might be inalienable rights. So there's a lot of debate today about what the founders thought or what they intended or whether or not they were Christians. This book of quotes from those founders leaves very little doubt as to who they were, what they believed, and how they assembled this great Constitution that we live under.
It's amazing to me that if you read the biography or the autobiography of these men who were the founders of this nation, in the story of George Washington, you listen and you read where he was and what he did and his personal relationship with God as a Christian. And then people come along and they don't misinterpret it. They deliberately interpret it in a manner that is completely opposite of what those individuals were, what they stood for, putting their lives on the line at that moment. Once again, we talked about it earlier, to believe in a country enough to develop a country before it's a country, a concept, an idea, a new way of life, and to be willing to put your life down and to sacrifice for that. I mean, that's a divine intervention. That is something that is greater than any one individual of us. And it's just amazing to me how the socialistic society that we live in right now wants to go in and just turn that upside down as if it never happened, as if these people, their entire lives were a lie and we are no longer that way, because those individuals with their socialistic minds may not be, but me as a Christian and a God-fearing person that served this country, that's my opinion. That's my perception. That's based on what I've read, and not just from these individuals, but from the Bible. According to that, there's only one way.
Very correct.
Because the freedom comes from God. The freedom doesn't come from man.
That is true. And the United States is the only country in recorded history and the only country on the planet that is founded on an idea. We're not based around a language or a race or some kind of other basis. We're based on the idea of freedom and liberty. And that is unique in history. And what we've been able to do under that founding concept for 200 years now is beyond anything that any country has ever done at any time forever.
Roland, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I can't believe it.
What?
There's a scratch on the car.
Where? I can't even see it.
That's the thing. I can see it.
Where?
It's right there.
Oh, if I had a microscope, maybe.
Well, I'm calling Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. They have great prices, and they offer free estimates.
Free estimates?
Yes. Maybe I'll even change the color.
Okay, pink. I've always wanted a pink car.
It's just a scratch. I'll call Mako. 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This is an encore broadcast of Battlefield Expressions.
My God is a sea.
Battlefield Expressions, and that is the Battle Hymn of the Republic written during the Civil War. And so this morning as we're talking with Roland Dillion, and we've been talking about the flag store you and your wife Jane own, and we have a guest on the line that would like to ask a question about the flag store.
Okay.
Good morning. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't realize it was on the air. Anyhow, I have this old flag. I think it's made of wool, and it may have even been handmade. And I think I talked to somebody years ago, maybe at the flag store, and they didn't know any where I could find information. Anyway, I think it's got the stars. It would be made when, I guess, Colorado was admitted to, I guess it would be called the Union back then. So is there any place I can find information out on this flag, or do you have it, or where could I find information, I guess, my question?
Well, we do have that information at the Northern California Veterans Museum office, and so you can actually either bring that to the office and we could research it there and look at what we have for some of the flags that we currently have, or you could take them to Roland and Jane and see what they have there at the flag store also. But we do have a research library at the museum offices that would entail being able to research that.
Okay, so that's the one in Anderson?
That's correct.
Okay, then I shall bring that down there. We'll take a look at it then.
All right, well, let me give you the phone number real quick. We're there by appointment only right now during this COVID. And the phone number is 530-378-2280. And if I'm not there, call and leave a message. I'll get back to you, and we'll set up the time to come on in and to research that.
And how many stars are on that flag?
I don't know. I don't have it in my hands right now, and I haven't counted lately. But like I said, the guy that I talked to may have been at the flag store years ago, and he thought that it was when Colorado was admitted to the Union. So I don't know how many stars were on at that time. Each time they added a new star, so I'll bring that down there, and we'll take a look at it.
Wonderful, and we'd be glad to give you some information on it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Roland, we're down to the last wire here. We want you to talk. We've talked about the ragged old flag, and there's lots of ragged old flags out there that have been worn and torn, especially through the storms and things like that. I have constantly, I go out to the Anderson dump, the waste out there, and they hand me bags of flags that have been thrown in the trash. And we take those flags and we bring them back and we use them for ceremonies We do a proper burial and the burning of those flags. And literally, sometimes they give me bags of hundreds of flags that people throw in the trash because either they don't know or they have no respect for the flag. Tell us a little bit about how that you work with that also.
Well, at the Flag Center currently, we are in a very unique business in that we represent the ensign of the United States of America. And that makes us unique. And we take that responsibility very seriously. And in retiring flags that are worn or faded or need to be replaced for whatever reason, we take those flags in so that they are honored and respected as a veteran would be honored or respected at the end of his life. There is a funeral fire that is performed so that they are sent out with honor. And that's part of our service that we take very seriously. If you bring them into us, we will team with you to help you fold it up, so that it's, properly folded. And then we team up with, other associations around town, the veterans, Fleet Reserve, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and all come together to properly retire the American flags.
How can people get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
We have a new website that is about to come online probably in the next week.
And what would that be?
That's www.the-flag-center.com.
Okay. And can you give us that one more time?
www.the-flag-center.com.
And your phone number?
Phone number is probably easier, 221-4000.
And they can look you up online also.
Online, we are easy to find on Google.
Once again, Roland, I want to say thank you for being here today. Thank you and your wife for having the Flag Center here in Redding, California. And thank you for your service to our nation and telling your story today. It's always amazing when we have veterans come in and they share that portion of their story while they serve this nation. And we encourage you to continue to keep up the good work and to be an example and a leader here in our community. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. We will talk to you next time.
Redding is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Redding to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/redding.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.